This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Addiction to heroin and opioids continues to be a prominent issue facing many Wisconsin communities. State lawmakers and local officials have been working to limit access to the prescription drugs that can start these addictions and make treatment more accessible. Now, a nonprofit media organization, Wisconsin Eye, is using testimonials from former addicts to educate the public, especially school-age children. Today, we're talking about Straightforward, a documentary and school program that's already visited a number of schools in the area. Joining us are John Hankus, president of Wisconsin Eye, Austin Reinhart, co-founder of Driftless Recovery Services in La Crosse, and Rita Von Hayden, prevention specialist with Cooley Council on Addictions. So John, I wonder if you could first start by talking about where this idea came from.
Our core mission, Wisconsin Eye, we're much like C-SPAN at the state level. So our core mission is gavel-to-gavel coverage of state government from the Capitol in Madison. But when the legislature is not in session, and thankfully that's not all the time, we have a very talented crew of producers and videographers, and we sit down in those quieter moments and ask ourselves the question, what can we do to deliver programming of value and impact around the state? And our first venture into documentary filmmaking was about 4 years ago when we partnered with Milwaukee Public Television and created a program called Milwaukee, a City Built on Water, and we developed some curricular materials to be used at the junior high level. Well, that was a success. And so fast forward to about a year and a half ago, we asked that same question again. What could we do to make impact? And everywhere we go around the state, when we're covering civic events and when we're fundraising, the conversation that people are having in communities statewide, more than any other that we heard, was this concern about addiction. Our young people are being exposed to opioids. They're getting caught in the trap of addiction. So what could Wisconsin I do? Well, to make a long story very short, we called together a group of about 50 people at the front lines of the opioid issue in the state. So this was law enforcement, the judiciary, intervention and prevention specialists, addicts in recovery. And we called them together for a town hall meeting in Madison. We closed the door, no media, no cameras, and former Governor Tommy Thompson co-moderated with former Attorney General Van Hollen a three-hour discussion and created message points that brought us to the point of really figuring out how could we connect with young people in a meaningful way. Part of that group included Austin Reinhart. He made the trip from La Crosse to Madison and was one of the voices of several dozen who helped us to figure out how we could connect with young people in a prevention message way.
Where did the funding for this project come from?
This is in addition to our operational budget. So we sought out some different types of donors who cared about young people, who cared about this issue. And our major underwriter was a private family foundation in Oconomowoc. And in that immediate family, there was a retired nurse. There is a currently working pharmacist and other family members who really cared about young people and helping them to be the best they can and live strong, courageous lives. So that initial investment was about $180,000 to help us get this thing launched. Now, since then, to help us to continue to put legs under this, we have, I'll just talk about La Crosse. There have been some very generous support coming from the Reinhart family, from Dairyland Power, from Quick Trip, from Don and Roxanne Weber. And we've found pockets of support around the state to help take this forward.
Right, because this is not just a documentary. This is also an educational program you've been bringing to schools in the area.
We found that our primary target would be of impact would be to secure all school assemblies in middle and high schools around the state. And wherever possible, following that presentation of the film, to bring in a panel, two to three, four local experts in the fields of addiction prevention, in intervention and treatment, healthcare, emergency medical services, law enforcement, and engage the kids in a Q&A. And what we found is, surprisingly, young people, even in front of their peers in large school assemblies, are very courageous and make themselves vulnerable by asking questions that we know are questions that come from their heart, from their experience, things that they're living right now and things that they're hoping to find an answer to help them get beyond.
Austin, why did you want to be involved in this project?
After learning about Wisconsin Eye and seeing what they were trying to do, it's always encouraging seeing organizations take up this flag. You know, being someone who works in addiction treatment and, you know, seeing the impacts, being a person in long-term recovery myself, that was initially what made me want to support it, is just seeing another local statewide, you know, organization take that on and say, hey, we're hearing about this and we want to do something. That immediately got my interest. And then John put together these individuals where, you know, there were some pretty heavy hitters at that initial meeting. I'm kind of looking around like, what am I doing here? And just seeing that, you know, you have a group of individuals who can make something happen. And that's what initially got me involved. And then seeing the message, right? It's one thing to create the content, but actually having a plan to roll this out into schools and beyond just showing another video. You know, there's tons of educational programming out there, and a lot of it is very good. But raising a question and then leaving those questions unanswered doesn't help students, in my opinion, formulate their ideas about the issue. You know, statistically, every single person in the United States knows someone who has struggled or is struggling with a substance use disorder. And so it's something that affects virtually everyone in our state. And so if I'm out talking about prevention, I'm talking to 10% of the population, right, who are going to struggle with a substance use disorder themselves. But I'm talking to the entirety of the room because they're going to encounter a loved one. They're going to encounter a sister, a brother, a parent, a grandparent, so on and so forth, that struggles with this. And so providing real information to them about not just my personal experience, but then the experience of all these courageous young people who were willing to get on camera and be interviewed for this project. It's been awesome. And to have that, you know, somebody like Rita come in and go to do these panels with her, you really do. You see these kids get engaged. You see them ask questions that you at least assume come from personal experience, and how terrifying that must be when you've got 400, 700 of your students around you to ask questions. You know, that can be a scary thing. But what initially got me involved was just that desire of, here's how we can craft this message and really get this out there on a bigger scale than I could ever do just on my own, or that, you know, us doing a partnership with Cooley, which we've done in the past, than we could ever just our two organizations do.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a new documentary that's sparking conversation among K-12 students about the realities of addiction and how it can be prevented. We're here with Austin Reinhardt of Driftless Recovery Services, Rita Vaudenhayden from Cooley Council on Addictions, and John Hankis from Wisconsin Eye. Rita, why did you want to be involved in this project?
It came along when we were asked to be part of, our agency was asked to be part of a panel at a local high school, Aquinas, and I think it's kind of rolled from there. I think, you know, the importance is, as, you know, Austin has attributed to, is just having these kids hear it in a different story. So often when I go into the classroom, the one thing they say they want to hear is the real life stories. They don't want to just hear about somebody whose sister, whose brother, who whatever. They want to hear the real life stories. And I think that for these kids, you know, they grow up in a world where it's normal, like this is the normal day, and they don't realize that that's not normal when, you know, when they have a family member, a parent that is struggling with an addiction and the things that they see every single day. And so the important things is just to help them to recognize that, you know, this isn't you know, there is a different normal, or there's a different way that we could be. You know, kids are very vulnerable when they're young, and if we can help them to understand that there's a different path, that they don't have to continue down that same path, that, you know, that's huge, and hopefully we can change their train of thought. So it's really about helping, you know, kids to really grow and flourish, and, you know, they're our future, and so we have to start with them and really help work through that.
Rita, do you think, I don't know, we're getting enough of that conversation in this broader conversation we're having in the La Crosse area, but also on a statewide level, about the issue of addiction in our communities?
Yeah, it is. I think we're getting to a point in our world where we're talking about it more, which is huge. You know, it used to be a time where you just kind of swept it under the rug and you didn't say much about it and you just didn't talk about it. And now I think we've really opened up to there being more of a conversation. You know, you're still going to have people who look at it as a moral failing. They're such bad people. But by being able to start talking about it, we're realizing it's not the disease. You know, we always say, you know, don't hate the person, hate the disease. And so it's great to hear more people talking about it and coming to the table and saying this, you know, this is what we can do, or what can we do to help? And that's huge.
Yeah, Austin, what are your thoughts on, you know, the current conversation around addiction in the La Crosse area or on a statewide level? You know, do you think we have the right voices kind of at the table?
I do, but I also think that for years we have had champions out there talking about the stigma of both addiction and mental health. So for predating me and my work in this field, and for a lot of years, you've had many individuals locally, statewide, nationally, fighting against the stigma, right? This idea that addiction is a moral failing and that these individuals are better left dead. You know, you still see some of that. Go to a Facebook comment section on almost any addiction-related article, and you'll still see people talking about how giving out Narcan is, you know, such a horrible thing and we should let these people die. Those people are probably always going to exist in some level in this world. But what we need to start focusing on now is great. We've reworked this idea, especially with, you know, my generation and so on, of destigmatizing addiction and mental health, at least leaps and bounds from what it was, but also looking at now what? Now how do we get these individuals the help, the treatment, this really comprehensive care that they need in order to find long-term recovery? So those are really two different conversations. On one hand, you know, the stigma is much different than access, right? So you can sit in the back and say, hey, these people do deserve help. Now we have to talk about what can we do to actually help them, streamlining services, providing access, doing all of those things. And I think you see that tide sort of shifting, where people are saying, okay, we've presented the information, right? We've taken real case, you know, real experiences from individuals, again, whether it's locally, statewide, nationally, you know, even everything we see with celebrities going through their own struggles, whether it's, you know, an accidental overdose death or getting into recovery and sharing those stories. But how do we get locally here on our level, the people who want access to treatment, how do we get them into treatment and fill the current gaps that we have?
John, how much was this stigma around addiction that still exists? You know, how much was that a challenge for you guys at Wisconsin Eye in putting together this documentary?
It was huge. We understood that the stigma is a large barrier. And how do you break through that barrier to create understanding and acceptance, tolerance? For us, it was just being real, being honest. When young people speak about their own life experiences, that immediately set a stage of reality that we have to deal with this, because young people are loved and appreciated and they're seen for the potential that they bring to society. As Rita says, they're our future. I think it was a bit of a blessing for us that we did target the younger crowd, because I think there's more of an acceptance of the need to fix this or to try to fix it. But the stigma is a huge thing. What was a real eye-opener for us was the extent to which this is a problem in our state. And by that, the glaring example was the very first high school that we visited with this film was D.C. Everest outside of Wausau in Marathon County. And the person who introduced me that morning was the head of the local Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse Prevention Council in Marathon County. And she grabbed the microphone from me just as I was about to hit the go button. And she said, and this was preordained and I didn't know about this, so it came as a surprise, but she took the mic and she said, "Kids, I have permission from the principal. If you are comfortable, please raise your hand if you yourself, a family member or a friend, is currently in active addiction." And about 7 out of 10 hands go up in an assembly of 600 kids. She turned to me and she said, "See, I told you, it's toxic up here." Well, guess what? It's toxic everywhere. This is an issue from every corner of Wisconsin to the other corner of Wisconsin. And for us, to your question, yeah, it was a challenge to break through that perception, that stigma. But I think because these were real kids, real young people, talking very real and raw and visceral about their experience, I think the stigma question just evaporated in that moment. And I hope that that can continue as we take this forward to other schools.
Rita, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the La Crosse area and the, you know, kind of the state of this issue with addiction. You know, how prevalent do you think addiction is in our community?
I think it's more prevalent than maybe people really want to admit or want to see. And that kind of, again, comes back to that stigma. We are talking more, but we see it a lot more. And so, you know, we're part of a program called, I have a program called Recovery Coaches that I'm also a supervisor for. And so we see a lot of what comes through the emergency departments. And we've now recently been able to expand our program to be able to, become help to counseling agencies and behavioral health and social workers and things like that to tag team up, you know, our recovery coaches. And the need, I mean, you everywhere you go, oh my goodness, that would be such a benefit. We could totally, you know, we could use you. And it's, you see it everywhere. And, you know, I work at Cooley Council on Addictions. We have the Cooley Recovery Center now with our new facility. And, you know, our numbers for phone calls that come into us have gone up. You know, a lot of it is family members searching for the help of a loved one. Numbers to our Get Your Loved One Sober support group as well as class have gone up. You know, so you can see more people are willing to step up and want to do something about it and help those that are in their lives. And so, you know, I work a lot in the classrooms in elementary and middle school. And unfortunately, you know, what I do brings stories out from those kids. And there's things that they say that you know what's going on out there, but you just never expect to have, you know, somebody. This morning, as an example, I had a class, first graders, and a girl said, "Oh, that's probably that stuff you sniff up your nose. Oh, yeah, that the cocaine." And I thought, you're a first grader. How do you know this? You know, so it just is, it's one of those things where it just kind of makes it so, you know, shocking, but you know that it's out there and just wanting to do everything that we can to help those kids. And unfortunately, those kids that are experiencing those loved ones, they're seeing more in their life than any of us ever will see. And that's enough to, they're dealing with all of that plus having to be in school. So, you hear a lot about it and you see it just through the eyes of those kids that you work with.
That's Rita Von Hayden from Cooley Council on Addictions here with us today to talk about the state of education around opioids and addiction and how a new documentary could help improve students' understanding of the issue. She's joined by Austin Reinhart of Driftless Recovery Services and John Hankis from Wisconsin Eye. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Austin, I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue of what is kind of the state of addiction in the La Crosse area? I wonder if you could talk about kind of what are some of the positives maybe we have in our community, but also what do we still need to kind of help us tackle this issue?
Sure. So you're seeing more and more. This April, Driftless will be celebrating 5 years in business. So even in that 5 years since we opened our doors, you're seeing much more collaboration within the community. Agencies who are willing to come together, who might, in a certain sense, be competing for business, right, from the fiscal sense, but have a common goal of helping individuals access treatment retention, keep these people involved in programming, because even if somebody shows up to one appointment or checks themselves into the hospital, you know, following them through and making sure that they're staying there versus just checking in and checking out. So seeing a lot more collaboration within the community. That's been inspiring to see agencies get together, and agencies that don't necessarily, just like Wisconsin Eye, agencies that substance use treatment isn't necessarily their primary goal, but coming to the table and saying, hey, we recognize this issue. How can we help? You know, a lot of different faith-based organizations, a lot of different after-school programs, you know, are all kind of coming together and saying, how can we help? And so you're seeing a lot more of that, which is very encouraging. Also getting out and working with the younger kids, right? Getting that education like Rita's doing at the elementary school age versus just focusing on high school kids, right, who have life experience up until that point, and providing real education, not this just say no mentality. It didn't work for me. I know a lot of other people it hasn't worked for, and saying, make smart, informed decisions. We're not going to tell you what to do. We just want you to have the facts so that you can make the choice that's right for you in your life. Some of the things that are lacking in our community here in La Crosse, we don't have a detox facility. So our nearest detox facility is located in Chippewa Falls. And so in order to get a client into Chippewa Falls, you know, it's transportation, it's whether or not they have a bed available. Just the logistics of that can be quite challenging. And then also you talk about all the insurance requirements that someone has. Even if they can get into detox using their Medicaid, Medicaid currently in the state of Wisconsin does not pay for inpatient treatment. And so someone is then going to detox and then getting sent back down to the La Crosse area without necessarily a plan in place of housing, you know, housing, job prep, right? Applying for a job, overcoming that record. How do I have an interview with a potential employer to talk about my record, to talk about my recovery? So there are a whole host of issues that someone who is entering recovery is going to face that the only way I see us as a community overcoming that is continuing this effort to band together so that agencies can refer to other agencies and say, hey, you guys do the job, the life skills stuff. You handle that. We'll handle the therapy and we'll kick it over to you for the life skills. And then we'll kick it over to you for the volunteer work and feeling a part of a community, because that's also so important, is feeling that it, you know, you're not alone in this and that you have a community of people surrounding you, both fellow individuals in recovery and then just community members. So that's super important as well. So there's a lot of good things going on in the La Crosse area, but we're certainly not alone in that we have challenges that are by no means unique to our area as well. And then we're also serving the surrounding counties oftentimes too. So we have people driving in for therapy who are coming in from the neighboring counties who even have less access to services, both, you know, traditional healthcare services as well as community support, you know, just smaller populations. So you have less community meetings, less things like that. And so really just getting everyone together to really hash that out and decide who's going to do what and how can we make this a seamless transition from one organization to the next to get the most amount of services for these individuals to tackle those challenges.
I'm glad you brought up rural communities, because I wonder, Austin, if you could talk a little bit about, you know, how the situation looks different in the rural communities that kind of surround the La Crosse area.
Sure. So rural, we don't have offices outside of La Crosse currently, but we do work with a whole host of different counties on the county level, different school districts, things like that. But ultimately, it's just less access to services. So these individuals are maybe driving up to an hour just to go to a counseling appointment. So that's an hour one way. And then going back to their communities, they might not have that same level of support, whether it's county support, so just the funding that's available for those individuals because there's less tax base. And then also, you know, those community support programs, whether it's 12-step meetings, those might be fewer and farther between. Attendance at those meetings, might be lower. And then there's other things that play in, such as for whatever reason, a lot of people new to recovery might have a suspended driver's license. So getting to those things, getting rides, you know, public transit, all those different kind of things are challenges that someone in a more rural area is going to face that could be overcome quite easily, even living in the city of La Crosse. You know, you have the bus system, you have all of that. And then being a La Crosse County resident, you have access to La Crosse County Human Services, which can be a hub of resources financially and setting you up with organizations. But oftentimes the stipulation of that money is that you're a La Crosse County resident. And then being that we're so close to the dividing line, state divide, what happens in Minnesota, that's a completely different animal in terms of state law, state regulation, all of those different kind of things where, in some ways they have better access to services, but then in some ways it's less access to some of those community supports and such.
John, I wonder if this disparity between rural and urban communities was something you guys thought at as, and when you're looking at what schools you wanted to target this documentary program at.
Sure. And it's even more fundamental level. When we considered who those voices ought to be, we determined that we needed a diversity, both in terms of gender and ethnicity and geography. And what we learned very quickly was that addiction does not discriminate by any of those qualifiers. But we thought it was very important that, one, we have a diversity of voices so that kids can identify whether they're rural or urban, whether they're black or white, whether male or female. And then really looked at what schools around the state, both urban and rural, would accept us in. And would say, yes, we'd like that. So we've not approached it in a shotgun sort of way, but neither have we taken a more fine-tuned approach. Our goal is we put the invite out, and whether it's a rural school district or more in a central city location, whoever wants us, we go. I will say this. I believe one of the reasons why it has been so well received is that, number one, it's really powerful storytelling. I mean, these are young people who really don't hold back in talking about how they got started. And they tell the story of smoking weed at age 11 or 12 or partying on the weekend. Kids are relating to that. So the reality of these stories makes an impact with the kids. But the other thing is, as well, there's some evidence that's drawn into this film. We have an animation of the developing human brain. And the point of that is it really matters when you start using something. And the younger you start using, the more of a negative impact potentially it will have on your life. And the more it will throw you open to addiction. We also asked the questions from the ACEs test, Adverse Childhood Experiences. And we put them up on the screen. And it's interesting to watch the body language in an auditorium when those questions are being asked. We know that kids are answering yes to some of those questions, which four or more yes answers increases your likelihood of addiction by 66%. So as those questions start to roll out, you watch kids shifting around in the chairs, and they're scratching their heads, and they're wiggling, and they're squirming, and they're nervous because now they're asking the question, well, what does this mean for me? And this is where I give hats off to folks like Austin and Rita and the school counselors, because their essential message afterwards is, this is not a death sentence. This is all about education and prevention. And the more empowered you are with information that is real and true and evidence-based, the stronger you're going to be in resisting and in helping a friend. So it plays well whether in rural or in urban areas.
John Hankus, president of Wisconsin Eye, is here with us today to talk about Straightforward, a new documentary and educational program that's teaching area students about addiction. He's here with Austin Reinhart from Driftless Recovery Services and Rita Von Hayden from Cooley Council on Addictions. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on how educating students and the greater public about addiction could help turn the tide on fighting the opioid epidemic in Wisconsin. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a new documentary, an educational program, on the realities of heroin and opioid addiction. Straightforward is a documentary produced by Wisconsin Eye with the hopes of improving the conversation around addiction in Wisconsin schools. We're here with John Hankus, president of Wisconsin Eye, Austin Reinhart, co-founder of Driftless Recovery Services, and Rita Von Hayden, prevention specialist at Cooley Council on Addictions. Rita, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, what education around addiction looks like in area schools, you know, before this documentary. Why is a program like Straightforward kind of needed to maybe help supplement the current education we have?
A lot of the education, we kind of fall back on health teachers, and, you know, there's middle school and there's high school, and kind of like Austin said, you know, the importance is really starting young. I mean, scientific proof tells us that the younger we can get to them, the better they're going to be able to make that informed choice the older they get. So with the programming that is done in the elementary, you know, we don't go in discussing the hardcore facts about drugs and alcohol. You know, we go in teaching making good decisions and recognizing right from wrong, or recognizing, you know, is this really a good choice and what should I do? And, you know, we really talk about how important it is to really stop and think before we make that decision. You know, when they're young and when they're teenagers, you know, they go through that phase where the excitement of the task outweighs the negative consequence that's going to come with it. They know something bad's going to happen, but the excitement of doing it anyways kind of rules and overrules that. And so, you know, really giving them that education to kind of, you know, think about it more instead of just acting, you know, think, you know, for a moment, is this really the right choice? And so, you know, just kind of increasing that as we go in elementary, and then, you know, adding in, you know, the understanding and the idea of, you know, not the, as Austin had mentioned, not the say no piece or the don't do it side of it, but it's, you know, this could be the outcome. This could be what happens. And, you know, you have to decide, is that the choice that I really want to make? And so really giving them the opportunity to choose from right and wrong. And then, you know, we have a lot of that in the elementary school, and then we have the middle school health classes and high school health classes. But bringing in this Straightforward, you know, it brings that other piece where, yes, we talk about the fact that addiction is that, you know, that long-term outcome of if you continue to make these choices. But really, you know, like I had mentioned before, having that real-life experience, that's what the kids really want to know. You know, what did that person really go through? What, you know, what negative consequences did they go through to finally figure out this isn't the right direction for me? And, you know, instead of the kids saying, you know, that'll never happen to me, could be like, well, I'm very similar to that. This could happen, you know, like getting them to recognize that piece of the puzzle and putting those kind of points together. So, you know, really the education way back when, you know, was always the just say no. And it was this is so bad. And, you know, youth know it's bad, but there's an excitement level to it. You know, if there wasn't something fun about it, why do people continue to do it? So we know that there's something fun, but it's really understanding that, you know, at your age, this is something, this is da-da-da-da-da that could happen. Kids don't think in 10 years from now, but just helping them to understand that there is that possibility that what you do now could affect something you really want to choose to do 10 years from now. So kind of, again, making that, being able to give them that ability to make that informed decision.
Austin, I wonder what your thoughts are on the state of education around addiction currently in schools. You know, as someone who has kind of been through this journey and is in long-term recovery, I don't know, do you think we need to continue to update the way that we're talking about this issue in our schools?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we need to update constantly as things change, right? So even with this documentary, you know, specific to opioids, heroin is really what this particular documentary focuses on. And it's brought the opioid epidemic has brought to light that it is truly an epidemic surrounding addiction. And it's really been a platform, like when Rita and I have done a school event together and things, is that talking about addiction as a whole, right, instead of just specific substances. So we're talking about, you know, the most frequently question I'm asked in schools is more along the lines of vaping, you know, and nicotine use and those kind of things. This is a catalyst to have that conversation about addiction as a whole. And being able to present facts, you know, we recently this week had the Super Bowl and more people last year died from an accidental overdose than attended the Super Bowl in 1 year. About 197 people a day die from an accidental overdose. And so being able to present those facts, because the younger, you know, Rita really specializes in like the young kiddos that I don't necessarily talk to personally at like when I'm in schools. But the younger you get, even freshman kids, they have these very rosy-eyed view of the world. You know, oh, I'm never going to find myself in that situation. Then you go talk to seniors and they're, you know, kind of these haggard veterans about the high school, and it's like, yeah, I've been there, you know. And so constantly updating that. And I think the best part about the Straightforward program is that you're not hearing it from a teacher, or you're not hearing it from someone whose job is to talk to you about substance use disorders. You're talking or watching someone tell their experience who's just a person, you know, and kind of one of the recovery sayings of, you know, I didn't wake up one day and decide I want to be a drug addict, right? I didn't pick to have a substance use disorder. And so coupling the information that they're getting at the very young age of making good decisions, also then reiterating that, you know, at the high school level of, this could happen, because it happened to me. It happened to the courageous individuals who are featured in this documentary of, that was never my plan. I am a smart individual. I did not choose to have a substance use disorder. I did not properly arm myself with the facts of, my brain is going to have a reaction to these chemicals. And my brain is going to react in a type of way that without serious intervention, I am not going to be able to stop. And that's ended up happening. And so I think that it's important for us to constantly be vigilant of, what are we seeing in the schools? How can we best talk to kids? It's a really difficult time to have conversations with kids about substance use disorders when you have marijuana legalization in, I don't even, a lot of states, right? Mm-hmm. I just read an article the other day about how in Colorado, in a town, they're putting psilocybin magic mushrooms on the ballot to decriminalize those. And so it's a tough time to talk about substance use disorders and what is good information versus what do kids feel like they're being lied to about, right? You know, and I think that was part of the trap that I fell into as a young person was the experience I had very early on with substances didn't match up to the warnings that I was given. And like Rita said, at least enough of drugs and alcohol are effective. And that's why people continue to use them until they're no longer effective, right? And that process of addiction takes hold. And so for me, it was I liked the way that they made me feel. And I heard all the really negative side effects and thought, well, how can that be true? Because this makes me feel really, really good. And I really like this feeling. So that clashes. And how can both of these things be true when ultimately that is the reality, is that, you know, drugs and alcohol are synthesized to elicit that reaction. The problem is that, You know, another recovery saying is once you're a pickle, you can never again be a cucumber. I couldn't go back to being a recreational drug user as I started out because the process of addiction had taken hold and I wasn't able to moderate my use as much as I had tried. So
that's Austin Reinhardt of Driftless Recovery Services here with us today to talk about the state of education around opioids and addiction and how a new documentary could help improve students' understanding of the issue. He's joined by Rita Von Hayden from Cooley Council on Addictions and John Hankis from Wisconsin Eye. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. John, as you mentioned earlier, you know, these stories are from, you know, real people who have been through this experience, and they're detailed. And I wonder if you've received any pushback from parents.
None at all. In fact, we have parents show up at some of the, with permission of the school, at some of the presentations because, and we, frankly, we invite parents to show up. Oftentimes what we'll do is we'll go do a school assembly, do the Q&A with the students and experts like Rita and Austin, and then do an evening community showing. And it's surprising to us that parents do show up. They want to see what their child has seen and has been exposed to. But just as significantly, they want to become better informed. So, no, we've not received any pushback. In fact, one of the more sobering moments in all of this for me was a call I received from a parent. His name is R.J. Lurkwin, and at the time we were producing this, he was on our advisory committee by virtue of his role with the Dane County Sheriff's Department. He was head of the Dane County Narcotics Task Force. And so R.J. was advising us on how to present this effectively to young people. And about 3-4 months into the project, the phone rings at the office one day, and it's RJ. And he's not as bubbly as normal. And he said, John, I need to come clean with you on something. I said, what is it, RJ? He said, well, my 21-year-old son, Ethan, has been fighting addiction for 5 years. And I should have told you that. And I said, that doesn't matter. I'm glad you told me. He said, well, there's more to tell you. And there's a long pause, and he starts weeping. And he said, we got the call last night, and we lost our son. So here's a young guy whose dad is at the front lines of this, the best treatment options available, the best information available, a loving, caring family, and the power of the addiction was too strong, and they lost their son. He agreed to sit in front of the camera, and one of the ancillary programs that we have on our website is RJ telling the story of his son Ethan and an encouragement to parents to hear what he's got to say about that experience as, again, a conversation starter. So parents have been very supportive.
John, how do you hope that this program will I don't know, maybe add momentum to, or maybe even change the course of the way that our state and local communities are addressing this problem of addiction?
Well, I think the most important thing is that that it's real. We're advised not to use scare tactics. And as Austin said, in fact, he called me and he said, please don't put adults, people telling young people what to do and what not to do. Let them tell their own stories. And I think that's been the most effective thing. We do have plans to update this. We have plans to use social media to do some shorter pieces called Straight Talk, where they're just short snippets, experts just encouraging young people. We want to get those in the schools as well to wrap around this documentary. But I think our mission in this is pretty clear. We'll continue to push it out into schools wherever we're welcomed. This information is timely. There's nothing about the film that is really dated in any way. There's no old cars or old telephones or things like that in the background. So kids can relate to it, and I think we'll get some good mileage out of it for some time to come.
Rita, as someone working in this field, how do you hope this documentary and this new approach can kind of contribute to the way that communities are addressing this issue?
I think the big piece is just opening up that line of conversation. There's so many parents who are too afraid to talk about it with their kid because they're too afraid of that question. Well, Mom, did you do drugs when you were young? And they don't want to answer that question, let alone know how to answer that question. But I think this video kind of really just brings out that avenue of just asking those questions. What is going on? You know, how is school? How are your friends? Where is this going? Because the more we can have a family conversation about it, again, kids will not admit it, but studies show the one person they don't want to disappoint the most is their parents. And so if they can show that, you know, if the parents can show this is a trusting household, we can talk about this stuff. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to scream at you. You know, we're going to have an open conversation about this. I may not agree with what you're doing, but we're going to have an open conversation. If we can just show them that support, I mean, that's what we see in the studies, that when you have that support, they're going to, you know, there's a lesser of a chance that they could travel down that path. But I mean, we need to talk about it. We need to get it out there. We need to not make it a shove it under the rug kind of a situation. And I really think this video does open that up and ask those questions and get parents to think, what is really going on in our community or in my child's school community? And in a sense, making them, you know, be more a part of it and ask more questions.
And what about for the students who maybe don't have that parental support or who have a parent that they see struggling with substance abuse?
We really push, I know through my program, and then I know it came up in the last showing of the video, is, you know, finding that adult they trust in their life, and that, you know what, that adult may not necessarily be mom or dad. You know, it could be grandma, grandpa, it could be an aunt, it could be a teacher at school, it could be their pastor, their priest, it could be somebody at church, you know, but helping them to understand that there is, you know, they can look at their life and say, who is that person I usually can talk to? And, you know, and that's the big piece of the puzzle, because yes, if a parent is in active addiction, they're not going to be talking about it because they're not going to look at it as something being wrong. And that's where, you know, then children tend to look at like, well, this is just the way life is. So really working into focusing on, you know, who is that adult in your life that you go to and you just don't realize you go to them so much.
And Austin, as we wrap up here briefly, I wonder if you have any other last thoughts on, you know, how you hope what you hope people take away from this program.
I would just echo Rita's statement is it opens up a conversation to have at home, right? And hopefully with both the documentary and the presentation at the school and then any follow-up information that they might get off the Wisconsin Eye website, or, you know, hopefully they'll go poke around and look for other community resources that are available, whether it's to assist in having these conversations with kids on maybe it's an acute level, there's an active concern, or just that sort of conversation of being prepared, that it gives them the segue to have what otherwise can be an awkward conversation. And if you are in the school and having this conversation, it's going to pique the interest, hopefully, of the kids. That's been our goal, is to create something that captures their attention. And then parents can jump on that and have that conversation to relieve some of the awkwardness versus putting it all on the parent to, out of the blue, kind of start this conversation from nothing and try and turn it into something.
We've been talking with Austin Reinhart, a co-founder of Driftless Recovery Services, Rita Von Hayden, prevention specialist at Cooley Council on Addictions, and John Hankis, president of Wisconsin Eye, about a new documentary and educational program aimed at improving school-aged children's understanding of addiction. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.